Music is a huge part of any sporting event. Teams and stadiums use it to get crowds fired up and into the game, so much that there are certain songs that you automatically associate with sports. In honor of the World Series, the Prisoners of Rock and Roll are holding our own music pep rally and talking about the best music to hear at a sporting event. Nothing gets a crowd fired up like Thunderstruck by AC/DC or Seven Nations Army by the White Stripes. And who hasn't been in a game where they fire up some It Takes Two by Rob Bass or some Rock and Roll Part Two by Gary Glitter? Let's hit it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Prisoners of Rock and Roll, episode number 51. I'm your host, Bruce Kramer, and I'm so happy to be talking music tonight with my co-host and my very good friend, Mr. Ryan McCusker.
Are you rocking?
Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by Boldfoot Socks and McCusker's Tavern at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia. The World Series, man.
Yeah, baby, we made it.
So we decided that we were going to kind of pivot a little bit. We threw the topic list out the window and we're like, dude, let's do something about like music to listen to at sporting events, because, you know, the show's based in Philadelphia and the Phillies are on this awesome run in the playoffs. And I'll try not to try to dive into that too much, to talk about baseball too much, but I see you got the jersey on, you got the Phillies hat on.
Hey, I represent. It's a Tug McGraw jersey. And
oh, nice.
You gotta believe, brother.
There you go. And that's there's a music tie, right? Tim McGraw, the country music star, is his kid. Yeah. And I'm wearing a Phillies polo shirt. I was wearing one to work today. So
very cool.
Yeah, man.
He was at the game last night.
I saw that he was there. Yeah. Tug McGraw, so Tim McGraw, the country artist, his dad was very famously the closer in 1980 when the Phillies won the World Series. And you know, I think the show and the World Series and the bar at McCusker's Tavern really have it has a special place in my heart, because, you know, when the Phillies won in 2008, you know, I was there every night. I think that's where we kind of reconnected and got pretty tight again.
Absolutely. They were great times in 08. I don't remember much, because even now I'm not seeing much of the game because I'm working.
Yeah.
And the only way I know what's going on is by the cheers or the grunts in the bar, because I'm just running around so much, making everybody happy, I'm missing the game.
It was that run in 08, like being in there every night, was the coolest sports watching moment of my life. You know, I'm a big sports guy. And just being down there and this, with the bar being so close to the stadium. And I remember the night that they clinched, you know, there was that weird game that got stopped by a rain delay and they picked it up.
Sure.
So it was over kind of early. And I just remember how crowded the bar was. Like, you couldn't hear yourself. It was so loud. And then when they won, within 30 seconds, it was empty because everybody ran out by the stadium.
Everybody runs out Broad Street. Broad and Shunk is very famous. They show it on the news when we hit championships, and you know, the whole neighborhood comes out and bustles out there and just parties, man.
Yeah,
nothing rocks more than Broad and Shunk during a World Series like win or a Super Bowl or represent, man.
I remember the how empty the bar got, and you locked the door, and you and I and a couple other guys, we went down there, and we were out. It was really friggin' late. I got home at like 3:30 in the morning, and went to work the next day.
Yeah, you have an excuse. Fucking right.
I'm going to game 5. Hopefully they win tonight. We're actually recording on the night of game 4. Hopefully they win tonight, and then they could bring it home tomorrow, and we'll see. I'll be there with my wife and my daughter. We'll see what happens, man. Fingers crossed.
Oh, man, the bar has been packed every game. Dude, and I swear to God, I've been praying for something to happen, because business hasn't been that great since the pandemic, you know? Been praying for something to happen. And for Phillies to be in the World Series is a dream come true.
Yeah, it's a funny time. But yeah, man, so like the, you know, going on the big sports run and being at the bar and seeing everybody was just that's one of my fondest memories of being at McCusker's and of ever watching sports. So
I don't think there's a bigger Phillies fan. How can I say that, Bruce? A bigger Philly fans passionate more than McCusker fans.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. We are hardcore baseball Philly fans. Yeah. Yeah. We're homers all the way, but the Phillies are our first love.
Yeah. That place, man, it was asses to elbows, front to back, side to side in 2008. And you couldn't move. And it was awesome. It was like 20 minutes if you had to try to get to the restroom. It was great. It was awesome for it to be that crowded and all that cool stuff.
The other night, I was so happy I was behind the bar because I can move. And nobody else can move in the bar because everybody's ass is elbows, like you said. But I'm behind the bar and I got all this room to walk around. It's pretty cool.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
That's great. And
I'm working my ass off, but no, I don't have to run into people or anything.
You know, and then music is just a big part of it. And initially we thought we were going to do our own little Phillies pep rally, but we didn't want to circle it around the Phillies because not everybody's a Philly fan. And, you know, I would love if somebody listens to us and is an Astros fan and just writes in and we hear from them. That'd be cool.
That'd be great.
Yeah, they can throw some shade at us. That's all right.
That's all right.
But yeah, we just kind of were like, all right, well, let's back up a little bit and let's just talk about like awesome music that you listen to at a sporting event. And, you know, you always put together a really good playlist, but, you know, I know there's like 40 songs on here. We'll play some tunes. We'll talk about it. We're not going to get real like hardcore nerd on any of this shit.
And just rock out. Let's rock out to some tunes, man. Hype songs.
Yeah. Hopefully I really do hope that I was like, shit, man, should we have done this a little sooner with, you know, the World Series is going to be over by the time this comes out, but
that's okay. We're enjoying the moment.
All right. Yeah. Dude, I'll just start playing songs and we can talk about them. And
ask you this first. We'll start out with this. What would you be your walk-on song?
Yeah, it's funny you asked that. So, you know, I still play softball a couple nights a week for being 46 years old. And the guys I play with once a year, kind of as a joke, we were like, we're going to have Fan Appreciation Day. And we would bring a boombox and we'd play walkout music. And it just pisses off everybody that we're playing.
Oh, you psyched them out, man.
Yeah, they think we're just being, you know, some people take that shit way too seriously. And we're being goofy and silly.
Having fun.
Yeah, we're having a good time. So this was my walkout music that I had.
Let's hear it.
I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
I love it. The Hulk Hogan theme song.
Oh, man. I have so many great memories of Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania.
Brother.
They were like the days of like superstar WWF. Everybody can say, like The Rock and all that shit. No, it would never happen without Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that era is my favorite. Of course, except for the Blue Meanie, who is a friend of the show. And
yes.
Is a friend of the show and is probably, you know, I know he's been down at the bar watching the baseball games.
Oh, he's probably there tonight.
Yeah.
What is it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably down there tonight. I'll probably have to go down after we get done.
Get done here, shoot and see how it's going. So,
yeah. Can I tell you what my.
Yes, I was just going to ask you, what do you got?
If I had a walk on song, this is what it would be.
Are you? We'll be right back.
like that song. I'm not the biggest Korn fan in the world, but that song's okay.
Yo, you play that song going up to the batter's box, you're going to psych that pitcher out. Just like the most obscene sound, crunching, like I'm going to hit this ball out of the park song, you know?
Yeah.
That would be my walk-on.
Yeah. I like it, man. That's a good one. And you got a bunch of other songs on here that are just kind of like in that vein of just kick-ass rock and roll songs. And here, I'll play another one. This is another great pick. I've heard that at a sporting event before.
Oh yeah, dude. That crunching beginning. Holy shit, man. I remember the first time I heard that, it was like life changing. Like it was like the heaviest thing I've heard. You know, it was like 93, 94, 92. You know, all the alternative shit was coming in, and like Pantera was keeping metal alive.
That was definitely an album that came out, and I was like, I've never heard anything like this before.
Dude, I saw them on that tour. It was fucking life-changing, man.
Yeah, I saw them with White Zombie, and it was like one of the loudest shows I've ever been to.
Oh, sure.
Really, really cool.
Sure.
Yeah, man, that's a great one. What else you got on here? Here's another. This is a great pick. Love it.
Oh, dude, I'm getting ready for this game, dude. These songs are pumping me up.
We had I was away for work, and we would get like the whole management team of our entire company together. We had like 200 people together, and we're sitting in the morning, like we're in this big conference room, and they asked me to put together a playlist to play in the morning before we start. So it's like 7 in the morning. People are rolling in. They're all hungover. And I had that song was playing, and most of you're supposed to be playing kind of chill stuff. And somebody was like, are you playing Motley Crue at 6:30 in the morning? I was like, you're goddamn right I am.
Hell yes.
I was like, let's go.
When is not a good time to listen right. to Motley?
Right. Wake up. I don't care if you're hungover. Get a cup of coffee and some orange juice. Let's go.
Holy shit. That song gets me fired up though. Talking about fired up at the Motley show. When I was like sitting, you know, in the fancy seats, you were in expensive seats. I was in the fancy seats.
Yeah.
And they broke into Kickstarter, I believe, in the beginning of the show. Out of nowhere, a chair comes flying and hits me like in my ass. And I'm like, I turn around and there's this big fucking guy like going ape shit. I went, hello. And I just fucking walked over. I walked away from him. He was huge. I was like, he's having a good time, man. You know, he didn't mean to hurt me.
Right.
You
know? It's rock and roll.
Yeah, that's what you get for sitting
against the stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, it's rock and roll, man. Sometimes you get a little beer spilled on you, you get a chair thrown at you. Shit happens. It's metal.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all metal.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep rolling, man, and just keep playing some of these rock and roll songs. Again, holy another shit. Awesome pick, and it's a song I've totally heard at sporting events.
Everybody knows it's an Ozzy song, but does everybody know the guitar player Randy Rhoads? You know, the intro to that whole thing was all Randy Rhoads. that was the best years of Ozzy's, was when Rhodes was in the band. Unfortunately, nobody probably knows this detail about him, but he died in a plane crash with an amateur aircraft pilot.
Yeah.
A pilot, and he was drinking and shit, and they kept on buzzing Ozzy's tour bus, and they clipped it and, you know, flipped on the, you know, flip, caught on fire. And in Ozzy's book said, he's like, the worst feeling in the world is to see your friend burning you to death and you can't do anything.
Yeah. They,
like, you want to go and pull him out kind of thing, but you can't.
It was like the ultimate, like, fuck around and find out. Like, right? He, like, they were just being stupid, yeah. And he paid the ultimate price for it. Yeah. We got some feedback on the Greatest Guitar Players episode. Somebody emailed us and was like, how was he not on your list?
There's awesome. So many and, we missed.
Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't, yeah. It'd be a 17 hour show. You got some other heavy shit on here, man. Let me,
go for it, man.
That's one of my favorite heavy metal albums. Dude. When we did the Big Four, that was one of my favorite albums. Why'd you pick that song? I don't think I've ever heard that at a sporting event.
The intro. I mean, it's metal. It's like, you know, you're sitting there and all of a sudden you hear that Dave Mustaine riff. Dude, there's nothing heavier than Megadeth. I don't care. People want to say Slayer and whatever. Megadeth is the heaviest fucking band ever for the Big Four. For the Big Four.
That album, yeah, and we talked about this a lot in the episode we did on the Big Four, but yeah, that album was 91, 92. When I was in high school, I listened to that album all the friggin' time.
Sure. Oh, yeah. We had it all the time. We had it on picture disc vinyl.
Wow.
It sounded like shit, but, you know, we had it.
It's funny because it comes on like the hair metal station or Ozzy's Boneyard sometimes on Sirius, and I get all like nostalgic. You know, like, I'm going to turn this up. I used to love listening to this. And then it's, you know, singing about nuclear war and aliens and all kinds of other stuff. But it was cool.
No, but Dave's inventive, man. You know, he comes up with some great stories in his songs.
Mm-hmm. Sure. What else? Oh, you got, actually, we have three of the Big Four on this playlist. I'll just keep rolling. Here you go. Yeah, I don't know how much Anthrax you'd hear at a baseball game, but again, it gets
I've heard it
up, man. Have you?
I've heard. Oh, fuck yeah. Maybe at like a Wings lacrosse game. I've heard okay. they play a lot of rock music during their game. But I don't think people even know who Anthrax are. They've been around for like 40 years and they're still like this underground metal band. That's a cover, by the way. I forget who it's by, but I think it's so hype. Ever since I was a little kid, I love that intro. That's like a walk-on song.
Yeah, I just got I got an email today actually with a pre-sale code to see them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go in Bethlehem.
Are you? Nice.
Yeah, I just texted a buddy of mine.
Yeah, we went with Black Label Society.
Black Label Society. Yeah,
yeah, they're cool too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go.
I've never seen them. Yeah, I might be too old for that shit at this point in my life, but I like them.
They're too old.
They are.
No, there's nothing like seeing Anthrax, dude. You know, Joey Belladonna, the singer, he's fucking unbelievable. I mean, he's the sound of Anthrax. It's a little dated now, but he's such a great singer. He's got a Journey cover band that he sings for, and he fucking plays everywhere with them.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just saw it on, I'd known it for a while, but I saw it on Facebook, like a commercial. I'd go see that in a heartbeat. I love Joey Belladonna.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he belts it out. You know, he also goes around the country at baseball stadiums and sings the national anthem.
I've seen them play. I've seen him and like maybe Scotty Ian do the national anthem in some places before. Yeah. And we didn't even talk about that, diving in like rock artists doing
the national anthem
before stuff. And, you know,
everybody's done it.
Yeah.
Everybody really tries to do the Hendrix version, but I've heard some awesome different versions of it. You know, I've heard great versions of it by Metallica, and God help me, I've heard the guys from the Grateful Dead do the national anthem,
like,
and
it was fucking
awful. I was telling everybody, oh, listen for the wheel, it's gonna be fucking awesome. Wait till you see. And then everybody's looking at me at the bar like, what the fuck? You brag terrible. About the Dead and this is it? Do you remember?
I do remember. Yeah, I mean, a couple games that they, like Phillies Giants games that they did it.
Yeah,
it sucked. Yeah, James Taylor, I've seen. You know, that's a good point too. Like the national anthem too, like the Super Bowl, right? Like the ultimate sporting event is a big deal, and you can bet people bet on how long it's going to be and all this other kind of stuff.
What I think about when every Super Bowl national anthem, the only one I think of is the Whitney Houston version.
Yeah,
I don't know if we've had that laying around or somewhere.
She
fucking kills it, man. Like, I think it was her performance of her life.
Yeah, I do have it here. I can play a little bit of it.
Just a little bit. Unfucking believable. Such a waste of talent, man.
She looks so, it's so effortless when she's singing that. And she's,
you know, there's a great documentary out about her. I think it was on Showtime. And like, she admitted it was a God-given gift to her and she was wasting it. Like, she said it, like, I'm wasting my life with this God-given gift that, you know. And who was, oh my God, who was bigger than her in the 90s?
Did you see the, see or read the Clive Davis autobiography? They made a movie. They made a documentary, and there's the
book. Oh, I should watch that.
And it's good. It's on HBO. And he talked. I mean, the number of artists that he discovered is like crazy. Everything, you know. And he spoke so highly of her.
She was unreal. She was like a Disney princess, man. I think her downfall was Bobby Brown.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know,
and everything. She had like the biggest, to me, it was like she had the biggest voice since like Aretha.
Absolutely.
You know, and then just she was that modern day Aretha Franklin, except with the cocaine and all the other, you know, Aretha's thing was cupcakes and Whitney Houston's was cocaine. And
Whitney got a lot of shit at first. There was, you know, the R&B community was just saying she was a little bit too pop, too white, you know, maybe. So she got a lot of shit for that. And, you know, they booed her somewhere. Maybe it was the Billboard Awards back in the day or something. And they kind of booed her when she won it. So she was like, I got to become a little bit more rough around the edges. And that's when she met Bobby Brown at that thing.
She went on the Arsenio Hall show and was talking about people accusing her of being too white and all this other kind of stuff. And it was like, dude, come on, man. Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of hers, but I'm not.
I love the Bodyguard. Come on.
Yeah. But I'm also not going to be like, oh, she sucks. Like, amazing voice.
There's no way you could say she sucks.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So
that was hardcore when she died. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Surprising. I mean, you knew she had a drug problem, but not, you know, figured not like that.
No.
And she was just, it was weird too, right? She OD'd and she drowned in her tub, if I remember.
Yeah, like fucking.
Remember correctly?
Something like that. Like,
and not a lot of water.
Yeah. I mean, it was very dramatic, very.
It's just tragic.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
It was so Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
It was fucking, I feel she was out partying the night before and then she went back to her hotel and died.
It was the night before like the Grammy party or two nights before or something like that. Because Clive Davis talks about that, that they did the party. I think they did the party anyway. Because that was like his big thing was like, you know, the Grammy party that Clive Davis threw.
Sure.
He still went through it and just everybody, it was like just hanging over the whole event. So
anyway, let's do something positive now.
Yeah.
After the bummer of her.
I'll just keep rolling, man. We got some more heavy stuff on
keep
here.
Keep on rocking, baby.
While you were here, the fun was never ending. Life a minute was only beginning. Captain Coleman Nichols, this one for you.
We didn't talk about them in the punk rock episode, so Pennywise. That's why I bro him by Pennywise.
Yeah, that was the Flyers theme for 1 year.
Oh, was it? I was going to ask you, why'd you pick that?
Yeah, that was one of the Flyers, like, their, like, goal song or their coming out song, yeah?
We didn't even talk about hockey. We've been so focused on baseball, and we're talking about the Super Bowl, but, yeah, of course, there's basketball and there's hockey and you mentioned the Wings and Philadelphia's got the soccer team is in the championship right now too. Yeah, so I mean, I'm gonna keep going. This is one, but here you go. Dude, I love it. How many times I've heard that at sporting events.
Awesome. And it always gets everybody pumped up.
Yeah.
Like when they're bringing a reliever in or some shit.
Yeah.
Blast that.
Awesome. I was thinking about this. I went to one of the NLCS games and the way the music that the Phillies were playing, I was like, they just do a really good job with, they know to play certain music to get you fired up.
Absolutely.
Even the organ player, I was like, man, the organ player was playing like Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses and some really cool stuff. I was like, man, they are on point with what they're trying to do.
I miss the old organ player that was at Veterans Stadium all those years. Like that sound to me is baseball. You know, now it's so like everything is like technoized and whatever.
Yeah. The organ, I mean, even I could just talk about this now too, like the, you know, Take Me Out to the Ball Game is it's music, but it's, you know, like
sing it every seventh inning,
right? Harry Carey in Chicago, that was a really big thing. In Philadelphia, it's after they win a game, they sing High Hopes by Frank Sinatra. They play Harry Callis, the legendary Phillies announcer, singing it.
I thought it was him singing it. It's like that.
It is him, but it's a Sinatra song. Yeah, but it's Harry Callis singing it. Just, you know, like again, like music is just part of all of that. Or, you know, the Yankees playing or the Mets playing New York when they win a game.
Yeah.
Music's just a big part of it.
Yeah. I think it makes the feeling of the adrenaline of what's happening, makes the crowd go fucking apeshit.
Sure. You
know, sports is very suspenseful.
Yeah.
You know, and to add music to that is just perfect.
It's like a, you know, like a movie soundtrack. They know when to play certain music to get you to invoke an emotion. You know, like, what is it? Like, you got a couple songs on here that I even think of like certain players, right? Like Mariano Rivera from the Yankees. Like when he was playing, this is what, you know, this. Yeah, that always makes me, we were just saying, I was just playing it, you know, the Phillies closer in 08, 09, played the same music as his walkout.
Brad Lidge.
I always think of Mariano Rivera from the Yankees. It's at some point in the last 20 years, like, baseball closers turned into professional wrestlers with their entry music and all their other, you know, the big rah-rah where they come in and shit like that.
I think one of the biggest relievers songs that ever made was a fictional character in a movie was Wild Thing.
Oh my God. Yes. And I skipped, you have that right on here and I was going to get to it eventually, but
just remember how he would come out, play the song. Just
imagine
him coming out.
So you're of course talking to you're talking about
Major League,
the movie Major League.
Oh, dude,
awesome!
When he comes out, when he's got the glasses on, he comes out and kicks the shit out of it at the end of the movie. After he slept with what's his name's wife,
Dorn.
Yeah,
I think it's Dorn's wife. Yeah, and the version is from X, which we didn't talk about
during any
punk episode. We should have. You know, we haven't talked about them at all. Yeah, they're very
great
cool.
Band.
They're very cool.
So underrated.
Yeah. Sam Kinison.
A little weird.
Sam Kinison does a really cool cover of Wild Thing, too.
Sure.
He did a really cool cover of Wild Thing.
There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, I don't know, cliche.
Yeah. All right. Keep rolling. You got a couple other heavy things on here. We move into some other stuff. I love that album so much. We talked about
so
that
much.
In the episode, one of the other, I think the episode on 1992 or 1991. At that, I think I listened to that until the cassette tape broke, and then I went out and bought it on CD.
If people don't know, it's a band, Ministry.
Yeah.
And New World Order is the name of the song. And it just always got me pumped up. How can it not get a crowd pumped up? Even if you don't know that song, it's like, holy shit.
I think I've heard that beat before at a sporting event. You know, it's like, and it's got that alarm, like emergency, stand up, let's go.
Yeah,
Probably make sure that we're actually saying who plays all these songs. I think we've been saying it. I'm not entirely sure if we have been.
I think we have.
Kind of been like, oh, this is awesome. This is a great pick. And make sure people understand what the hell we're talking about. But all right. You got so many other great shit on here.
Intro so heavy, man, so heavy. It's I don't really care about Manson, like, who gives a shit about him, but he has some great beats like that he uses. He's a guy that uses the studio as a instrument, man. He's very, very good.
I'm not the biggest Manson guy. We talked about him a little bit too in our Shock Rock episode. I do like that song though.
But you can see it like coming during a sporting event or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Here's another one that you would absolutely hear.
Yeah.
Another one, just
yeah, man. It's, you know, it's a shame that they get so political and shit that you can like barely play their music in public. You know, it's like I remember in South Philadelphia, you couldn't wear Rage Against the Machine shirt, whatever the case may be, but they got shit for it. You know,
well, they yeah, I mean. Yeah, I don't want to get too off topic with base with sports, but yes, in Philadelphia in particular, right? Because they were really behind the Mumia Abu-Jamal thing, the guy that was accused of murdering a Philadelphia police, who was convicted of murdering a Philadelphia police officer.
Yeah.
And it was always a big thing, and they were very pro Mumia Abu-Jamal. So of course, you know, a lot of the pro police people, particularly in Philadelphia, did not think very highly of them. But I have heard that guitar riff. I've heard at sporting
events. Oh yeah. Like seriously, through the years, you could not wear a Rage shirt anywhere, especially in the bar. You know, I didn't have them on the jukebox or anything. You couldn't play them in the bar. It was just dodging the whole bullet.
I like them. Sometimes their shit it's a little too much. You know, I
love Tom Morello.
I can't. I've never expected them to separate the politics because that's just what they are. They're a political band.
That's what they are.
But sometimes it's too much, and I just spin.
Well, that's what happened to them. They got over redone every album, the same fucking album. Nothing beats that first fucking album, Evil Empire or Second Empire, the second album. That was really well produced, maybe too well produced, you know. And then they did that third album, and it sounded like everything else that they'd done. And, you know, I don't have time for that shit.
As I've gotten older and my politics has gotten more conservative, I definitely am just kind of like, okay, yeah, it's not my bag. But I respect that they're taking a stand for what they believe in and singing about it. And I like Tom Morello, too. I think Tom Morello he's a fucking amazing guitar player.
I think he's a very smart guy.
Yes, he's on.
Very intelligent.
He's got like 8 million shows on Sirius. You know, and he
really
he hosts stuff all over the place. It's like every station he does something, and he just talks a lot, and he plays a lot of his other side project kind of stuff. And some of his side project stuff is way different than
Rage. Like Hawk, whatever the hell they're called,
like singer songwriter kind of stuff. I forget what it's called, but
I hear it's awesome. I never
the Watchmen,
that's what it was.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going too far. I'm not going to look it up and get down the rabbit hole. But I do like him, even though I couldn't be further from his politics. But it's still, hey man, it's rock and roll. Somebody else that I really, one of my favorites. Here you go. Something else. I'd be ready to go. Let's go. Put me in the game.
Love it. I heard that at many sporting events, man.
Every time I hear that song, I'm like, how are they not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
It's a fucking sin, man.
Then they are
sin.
They are heavy metal. They are punk. He is just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The way he looks, the drinking, the way he sang, into the way he held the microphone and the hat.
Everything was rock and
everything.
Roll.
The thing on his face. It just.
Do you remember in the movie Airheads? They're like, who would win a fight, Lemmy or God?
Yeah.
And he said, God. Nope, they're the same person.
Yeah, Lemmy is God.
God.
Sure. Yeah. He's gotten
sexual pleasure on stage by a girl while he's like playing the bass. Legendary of it. He's the ugliest man in the history of rock and roll.
Yeah, but he's up there.
Definitely got his couple pieces of pie.
Yeah, if we do the all ugly show, That would be funny.
Him, and Johnny Winters.
And yeah, we'd be up there too. So
I'm handsome. I bet our listeners don't know how handsome I am.
I think some people flock to our website just to see what we look like. So, and then they go, oh, Jesus Christ. So
you always do that though.
We got to get a shot of you, man. You've lost so much goddamn weight. We need like,
man, I feel great.
You're half the man you used to be, like physically.
Yeah, dude. In a year, I lost 50 pounds.
That's awesome.
I went pants shopping the other day at Old Navy. Give them a little shout. You know, I am wearing a size 34 waist, bro.
That's awesome,
I haven't done that probably since I was in the eighth grade, bro.
That's fantastic, man. Yeah, you look good, dude.
I feel good, bro. I feel like, you know, positive.
Yeah, and it's not about, the number on the scale is a number on the scale, but it's how you feel. And if you feel great,
great to be complimented all the time. Yeah, I'm a very humble guy. So, like, people are like, oh, you look great. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of embarrassed by you saying that, but thank you very much.
Yeah, fucking take it. Take the
compliment, dude. But I appreciate that, dude. Thank you, man.
Yeah,
we
got to get one of our photography friends to get some more pictures of us. I know my beard is way more gray than it normally is, than it has been in the past, and you've lost a lot of weight. So, I normally don't even have a beard. So, it's only in the winter, but, you know, whatever. Keep on topic, man. I know the game started. All right, you got some other heavy things on here. What else?
Do you remember the rock jocks? Jock rock? What was it?
Yes, jock jams. The ESPN
jock jams. Jock ESPN.
Jams. I had a couple songs. I have a couple songs on here from that. Yeah, man. We were trading text messages today, and we're like, you know, we're getting ready for the show, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go look at the jock jams, like the playlist. The track listings, and you were like, I've already done it. I added some shit. And yeah, we were working in the music store. Man, that thing was like, that was everywhere.
Huge. There's different volume. I remember all the cheerleading chicks would come in and want it. Yeah.
And most of the songs on that album suck. They're just
back then it was like the shit.
Yeah.
It was, the football teams were using it. Everybody was using inspiration from that shit. Remember, it would open, are you ready to rumble? That dude?
Michael Buffer.
Yeah. He gets paid every time somebody says that shit.
Right. We just owe him 3 cents. So, yeah, dude. Like, here, I'll play something off of it. Here you go. Here's like, this is what I think of when I hear jock jams. Like,
get down with the sound, house on the ground, freeze when I squeeze, drop to your knees. You must obey, I'm in here to stay, ready to take you around the way, so you're ready to dance. Mind your own guess, cause I am back, yeah, the microphone is.
Yeah, just that. That
so kind
of crappy dance. It's fun. It is fun music, and they play it at almost anything, and you stand up and you're dancing around and you're having a good time with it. But
you still hear it now at sporting events.
Absolutely, yeah. I got some other. What's that?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, here's another one.
I like to move it. I like to move it. I like to move it. You like to. Move it! I like to move it. I like to move it. I like to move it. You like to move it!
Yeah, it's largely forgettable song, but yeah, dude, it's catchy, and it's like, you know, if I get it,
it's a
baseball game, it comes on, you know, I'm getting up, I'm, you know, going to the Phillies game now, they hand you the rally towels, and you're swinging them over your head, all this kind of stuff.
Love it. I love sporting events, man.
Yeah.
I just got Sixers tickets for a game. Nice. They don't play many rock and roll songs at Sixers games.
Yeah. But they're, you know, like music is also a big part of that too, right? Because they have, you know, there's a lot of, it's much more hip hop, but.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
sure. But it's still a big part of it. I haven't followed her. I'm a total front runner with hockey and basketball. I'll pay attention when they're good.
I'm diehard, bro.
I haven't gone to a Flyers game. The last time you and I went, which is probably about.
Holy shit. When was 15, that?
It was probably like 15 years ago.
Really?
You and I went to a game. Yeah. Remember No. Your beer guy gave us seats. He gave us very good seats.
Oh yeah,
and we were. He always,
they hooked me up the reps. just from Abriglio and Penn and
Muller.
It was a long time ago
since I've been to a Flyers game. I just don't have the time to follow four sports, but
The bar, I have nothing really else to do but watch sports.
Sure.
So we're lucky enough to have like all major sporting teams in Philadelphia. There's always something to watch.
Yeah.
There's always a game on every night. Like the series is on tonight, tomorrow, but then it's off. But I got the 76ers playing on Friday night.
And you also have that really nice, like, 100-inch projection TV.
Yeah.
Not to be given the commercial for the bar. But, you know, back in the day during 2008 when we were watching the shit on tube televisions.
I was telling that story. Ceiling. I was telling that story today, how embarrassing that was. I told my father.
Little tube TVs.
Oh. You remember how the cable went out and everybody blamed me?
Yeah.
I was like, no, dude, the whole city's out. And some girl was like, oh, this is what happened to Jersey. Well, go to fucking Jersey, I said to her.
Yeah, I'd like to think that run that the Phillies went on, we paid for the TVs in the place. And now you guys have that, like, it's a whole wall. So you have the high D projector on, and everything just looks awesome. It's like going into a movie theater.
It is great. We do show movies on, like, Movie Mondays. I know there's always something playing. They were doing some Halloween stuff last week. You know, we just try to do fun things down the bar.
Yeah, man. That's why I love it. It's always got to be, you know, because it's like the town center. You know, it's like the town hall. People come and hang out.
It's not like you walk into my bar. It's like a dingy bar with some bums sitting there.
No.
You know, no, my bar is nothing like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a neighborhood spot. But, you know, I mean, shit, I drive an hour when I come down. So, all right, let's play some more songs. Oh, you know what? We're playing some of this shit from... Jock Jams. I don't know if I got some. That might be all I have from Jock Jams on the playlist.
How about Whoop, There It Is?
Here you go. Tag team. Whoop, There It Is.
Party people! Goes a little something like this. Tag team, back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoices. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words mean you're getting busy. Whoop, there it is, hit me.
Remember how big that was?
Dude, this song was huge. I like that Tootsie Roll song.
All that shit, man. That 90s hype music, you know. Good stuff.
You could probably play all those songs at the same time on top of each other, and it wouldn't sound any different. It sounds
the same. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right, man. It's very nostalgic, and it takes you back. And said that those Jock Jams albums were fucking everywhere when they came out.
Huge.
And all that kind of stuff was a big deal. There is a rock and roll song that you have on the playlist that I skipped, and I need to circle back and play because it is, here. Does he say, oh God? Did you hear that?
I never noticed.
Let me play it again. Listen to it. When it starts, I swear I just heard a voice just go, oh God. Listen, I'll turn it up a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I would kind of recognize it.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah.
But I remember this being the song for the Flyers back when the song came out in 87. It was not even heard of yet, and the Flyers had it as their theme song.
Yeah, I mean, that, like, what, nothing gets anybody pumped up more than that opening guitar riff. And it's really cool. Like, I just played it twice because the beginning, as it's building up, I had never listened to this song with the headphones on, and Axl Rose goes like, oh God, like really subtle. And I've heard that song a zillion times. I've never heard that before.
That's the great thing about the headphones, bro.
You really cool. Like,
I know we say it every week, but hey,
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Every time we do a show, we're like, go get a pair of headphones, go spend $40 on a moderate pair of headphones and throw them on and listen to your favorite song and you hear something different. Huh, interesting.
Awesome.
I'm sure my wife can't wait
for you to tell her
we're just doing shit around the house. I'm like, check this out. They
go call Ryan.
Yeah, right.
Appreciate it.
Go do your show and shut up. I think that's it for the heavy stuff. As I'm scrolling through the list, there's one other song I want to play later.
Maybe it's time, yeah, man, time maybe, for a break.
Yeah, I think this is a good time for a break. I'll check the score real quick and see what's going on. I don't hear any yelling coming from my living room right now. So yeah, man, we'll be back in a couple minutes.
All right, stick around.
We'll be back. Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by McCusker's Tavern at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia. There's something for everyone on the beer list and the jukebox at McCusker's. It's minutes from the sports stadiums in Philly, making it a great place to stop by for a few drinks before or after a concert or a game. Come see for yourself why everyone from Philadelphia Magazine to Playboy has called it one of the best dive bars in the city. Visit them at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia or on Facebook. That's McCusker's Tavern. Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by Boldfoot Socks. We are so happy to have them on board because they make a great product and they're just really good people. You know, their motto is grown here, sewn here, because Boldfoot Socks are made in America. They have all kinds of styles and designs for anything from going to work, going to a sporting event, listening to all this music we're talking about, or even sitting here doing a podcast about music. And I said that they're great people. Their president, Josh, he's a military vet, and the company donates 5% of all of their proceeds to veteran charities. I'm down with anybody that does anything to pay it forward. He bought a pair of Boldfoot socks to run a race, and he loved them so much, he wound up buying the company. And as soon as you're done listening to us, head over to boldfoot.com and check out all the different styles that they have. That's boldfoot.com. All right, we're back from the commercial break. Thanks so much for sticking with us. I just checked the score. It's 0-0 still.
Yeah,
your dad's probably in the next room watching it.
He is, absolutely. Where else would he be?
Yeah, I'm sure. So I was thinking of your dad a lot on this run. That I'm sure how you know. You and I are about as diehard as it gets. You, me, and the warden. And your dad's one of the few people I know who's more
diehard.
Ride and die.
In 08, when we won the World Series, people were stopping by to congratulate my father for winning the World Series.
Well, you have a picture hanging in the bar of your dad holding a World Series ring on his hand.
Yes.
It's like a real one hanging in the bar. Yes. Yes. It's like some places have a picture of the Pope and other places have a picture of your dad, rightfully so, holding the World Series ring. So.
I have also a great picture of him in the dugout holding
on the bullpen phone. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I love coming down there on a day when there's not a lot of people and sitting there and just arguing with your dad about some nuance of what player in 1987 had a better,
walking
encyclopedia.
You guys had that Bobby Abreu whole thing,
right? For 20 years we've been arguing about it. It's great. So I love going down there and just shooting the shit, talking baseball with your dad. But yeah, man. So I got some other songs. Maybe I got a couple on here that are like older songs, but they're important stadium songs. You know, I probably shouldn't even talk them up too much, but this one is probably the biggest.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you, we will rock you.
I love Queen. I don't think that's even in their top 10 best songs.
No, but you know, it's a great crowd anticipation thing, bro. You know, you hear it everywhere in commercials.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Not just sporting events. You hear it everywhere. How about when I broke into it a couple weeks ago with my band?
You guys did break into it in your band.
That was like spontaneous.
That's awesome. And every team that any sport that has won a championship plays We Are the Champions.
Oh, yeah.
another, it's another cool song. It's not my, not my top 10 Queen song.
It always reminds me of the ending of Revenge of the Nerds when they play We Are the Champions when I hear that song. I don't know. That's weird.
Nah, it's all good, man. We should do a show on Queen sometime. I know the movie, you know, was really big. And
yeah. We talked about an angle.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about doing a show on Live Aid for a long time. That's been on the list for quite some time. But yeah, I'm sure there's an angle in there somewhere. But yeah, they're really, really cool. What else you got on here? Important sporting event too that we should talk about too is Rocky in the, you know, boxing and all that other kind of shit.
Yeah.
When, you know, we came out of the intro, our opening theme, we played Gonna Fly Now, the theme from Rocky, because, you know, the show is based in Philadelphia. And, you know, anytime you watch any national sporting event from Philadelphia, or anytime any sport from Philadelphia is on the stage, they show the guy making cheesesteaks, and they show the art museum, the steps that Rocky ran up.
You'd be amazed. Any time of the day you go past the Rocky steps, somebody's running up them.
Yeah. And there's a statue of him out front next to the museum. And
do you remember the statue used to be outside the Spectrum?
Yes. And they moved it.
They moved it it's a movie prop. They had it a lot. People don't know the Rocky steps is the Museum of Art of Philadelphia. And when the Rocky statue was put up there, they're like, this is not a piece of art. It is a movie prop. Right.
Fictitious character.
Yeah. Like and there's billions of dollars worth of Van Goghs and shit in that place. And it's famous for Rocky running up the steps.
Right. There's always a line. If you go down there, there's a line of people waiting to take pictures, but the statue is at the bottom of the steps off to the right.
Hey, you come to Philly, you have to go see Rocky.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. But another song from the Rocky movies that became really big was Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. Iconic, you know, music.
So iconic. Of him like working out and getting ready for the fight. You know,
I don't think of a lot of like music coming out of boxing events, but of course in that movie, that's, you know, that and the Rocky theme. And you know, the Rocky theme too, it's, you know, in Philadelphia, all the sports stadiums are kind of in the same area in South Philadelphia. And it seems like for my entire life, whenever I leave there, there's always some dude playing a trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
And that Rocky famous theme with the case, asking for money.
That dude's like, famous. You know, I always give him a dollar.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm 46 years old. This guy has been here my entire life. I remember leaving an Eagles game with my dad as a kid and hearing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very famous.
Yeah.
Very famous.
Yeah. Very, very cool. What else we got on here? All right, I'm going to start this kind of... Maybe I'll just start going through the list and I'll just play all the shit that we haven't played yet. You know, I'm kind of running out of a theme, so here you go.
I really like
that song.
Yeah, I've heard that different times in sporting events. I love that song. I think it's my second walk-in song.
Okay.
If it wasn't Korn, it'd be that song.
Okay. All right. The next song, this is going to be the shitbag of the week. Here you go.
Oh, yeah. I know who it is already.
Hey!
All right, let's just get it out of the way here.
Shitbag of the week.
Dun, dun, dun. So that was Rock and Roll Part 2 by Gary Glitter. And it's a cool song. It's a cool instrumental.
It's been banned, though. It's been banned from all sporting events. Tell me why.
He's such a piece of shit. So he went to prison for child pornography and child sexual abuse and attempted rape. And he is currently imprisoned. And he's currently in prison in England. So he's
still in prison.
He is still in prison. He's
been there for like 20 years.
He was arrested in 1997 and he was sent to jail in 1999. He had over 4,000 pieces of child pornography on his computer.
Jesus, what a fucking psycho.
He had sex with a 14-year-old girl. He got out of jail in 2000. He got arrested again. He got arrested. He was in like Vietnam and he was doing like shit with kids. And he's a scumbag of the scumbags. Definitely. He is on the top tier turds that we've ever.
But back in the day, you would hear that song everywhere at every sporting event, on fucking video games, everything. Nothing was a bigger crowd than that fucking song, you know, crowd pleasing song.
Yeah. And he's been in and out of prison for a while. He got out and he got arrested and got like accused of shit more. He's eligible for release in 2023. So yeah, F that guy. That is a cool song. I'd assume there's a Rock and Roll Part 1 that Gary Glitter wrote, but I'll be my homework. I'll look it up for the next episode. Here's some more stuff. Here you go. Another
Edward
great pick.
Van Halen.
Another awesome rest pick because soul. What's more like showmanship and all that shit than Van Halen with David Roth?
Oh my God, that song's so iconic. I mean, if you don't know that song from the radio, then I hope you heard it at a sporting event because it's definitely a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
And there's Van Halen's fans everywhere.
Yeah, of course. You put this on here, dude. We haven't talked about it yet. This is my favorite walkout song of all time.
Chase Utley, baby.
Yeah, dude. So in 2008, 2009, that was Chase Utley from the Philadelphia Phillies. His walkout music was Cashmere. And there is no better. I always say at work, like, I want to walk into a meeting. I want to walk into a conference room and have that playing behind me. It's awesome. It's great.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Zeppelin songs. And they didn't rip that off from somebody. I don't think so.
They came out with that themselves.
I think so. It didn't come up in all my research.
Oh, wow.
We got another handful of songs on here. Here's another one that is, I don't think of anything from Philadelphia, but absolutely tied to sports. So I'm shipping up to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys. I love them.
Yeah, I mean, that song's famous for being in the Departed movie.
Yeah, right. You know? In the Departed and also the Boston Red Sox. So when the Red Sox, when they had Jonathan Papelbon, when they got off the curse, when they finally shook the curse of getting rid of Babe Ruth and they finally won the World Series, like they had a float in that parade.
The Dropkicks did.
Yeah, and they wrote that. They wrote that song Tessie for the Red Sox that year. And then the Red Sox went down like 3-0 or 3-1. And they were getting like death threats. Like, you fuckers, you cursed us. And I thought it was pretty cool when Jonathan Papelbon left the Red Sox and he came to Philadelphia. He wanted to keep that to be his entrance music. And the Dropkicks were like, no, dude.
No way.
It's a Boston song. They're like, you cannot. They wouldn't let him use it.
That's fucking funny.
So that was pretty cool. I like them a lot. I've seen them. Shit, 7-8 times.
Yeah, they're so much fun, man.
Yeah, they put on a great show.
Dude, back in the day, they would play hockey fights in between bands. Like, it's so fun, man. So much fun.
They're awesome. They do a lot of really cool stuff. And I think it's really cool, like, when they do a show, they'll bring, like, a surfboard, and the band will all sign it, and then they auction off the surfboard during the concert, and they give all the money to charity.
Why a surfboard?
I think I saw them in Asbury Park, so maybe that's why, because it was down the Jersey Shore. But they're always doing like charity.
Some kind of thing.
Yeah,
they're great on that. They're just blue-collar really, guys.
Yeah, something like there was some kid that was like really into them, and he was like in a cancer ward or something, a pediatric hospital, and the whole band went out in like the courtyard outside the cancer ward, and they did it. They like had the kid come to the window, and they all played for him, and so they just seemed good dudes. Yeah.
Oh, dude. They're Irish. How can they not be good dudes, bro?
Much like the guys over at Boldfoot Sox. I just, I just like musicians that seem like they're good people. I don't like rooting for shit bags. Yeah, really, really cool. And yeah, they seem like they get it that they're in a fortunate situation and they use it to do some good. So I'm all for it.
Yeah.
All right. Let me keep rolling. Here's a more modern one for you. That's a good one. That's a good one to get people fired up. I hear it a lot.
Wasn't it San Diego's theme song, like in the stadium?
Yeah,
like, I think and then they came to Philly, and everybody started breaking their balls about it,
doing it back,
the shit out of it. Yeah,
yeah. What else we got on here? Got some other. Here's another kind of modern song. Well, I say modern. It's probably 20 years old.
Jumbo jet. It wasn't easy, but nothing it is. No.
Yeah, you can't.
That's a great song.
Can't go anywhere without hearing that. The woo-hoo.
No, it's huge, huge. Yeah. At every sporting event, everywhere,
you still hear it all the time.
Commercials and movies.
Yeah,
everywhere.
They probably got stupid rich off of that one song.
Yeah,
and they're still right, not even a song, just that hook. Right, the hook, and it's not even a lyric. And they're still
who sang Blur? That song? Blur. Yeah.
And they're, what the hell's that other band? Gorillaz.
I love the Gorillaz. I've seen them at concert. Right,
that's Blur.
Yeah.
Like
I believe so.
Is cartoons.
I've seen them in concert. They like play behind
a curtain, right?
And it's silhouettes, and they put imagery on the screen.
I dig it. It's like you're trying something different. It's cool.
I like them. I had a good time seeing them.
It's cool. And a song I don't like, and it was big for, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago here, is this one.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's Chelsea Dagger by the Fratellis. And it was funny. I had to, like, I didn't know who it was. And I was in my head. I'm like, oh, I got to go find that. And I became every person that used to come into the music store to us and go, do you know that song by that guy? He goes, I don't know any of the words.
That's how you felt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just stupidly searching the internet trying to find it. And I did. And I don't like it.
I would see it be more of a soccer thing. Like
more of a what?
A soccer theme.
Yeah, I think the Flyers played it a lot for a while, years ago. I found another. Here's a that song that you know it when you hear it, and you probably don't know who it is. And maybe you do, but most people probably don't. This. Yeah, it's like that song. Like, oh, I know that song. Who is it?
The Sixers use it.
Yeah,
I think 76ers use it.
Yeah. I think it's anytime there's like a timeout or something. It's Serious by the Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, right on. So, I always wondered who that song was by.
Yeah, progressive rock. Yeah, you hear it all the time. And again, they probably got very wealthy off of that without,
much effort.
Yeah, and it's like a whole instrumental and shit like that. So I think I got like three more songs.
Crank them out, bro.
Yeah, here you go. This I thought of this one late today. This is a great one. That's Hey, Kiss Him Goodbye by Steam.
Dude, I remember being a kid just doing that all the time to whatever.
Song and the other song, If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life, Make a Pretty Woman Your Life. Like, hey, man, I saw your girlfriend the other day. She ugly. There's old soul songs. Really cool. I do have, this song you hear a lot.
Dude, listen, I have so much respect for Lil Jon, dude. Total respect for him, dude.
Why?
I think maybe I'm cut all that out. Maybe I'm thinking of wrong guy. I'm thinking of who does that song?
That's DJ Snake and Lil Jon. Yeah, Lil Jon's always, Lil Jon's always like, yeah.
Who's the other guy? The other rapper, he's like, God, he was Martha Stewart had him on, not Snoop
Dogg.
No, not Snoop. It was something else. Never mind. Okay. Doesn't matter.
All right. Lil Jon was like everywhere for. There was always in that. Another dude who made probably very wealthy for a minimal amount of work.
He was Crunk.
Yes.
That was a shit Crunk.
I think he was Crunk. So the last song we got to talk about is Dancing on My Own, because that has kind of become the theme for the Phillies. So
so lame.
So I've got the original. So whenever they win a game or they advance, they're in the locker room and they're drinking their champagne and they're playing this song Dancing on My Own. It was originally by Robin in the 90s, but I think they've been playing a modern.
They've been playing a remix. I had this whole conversation in the bar. Some woman kept on trying to play it in a bar. I'm like, it's not on there. Yeah. It's a super remix. I have the regular song on there. It's a slow song.
I think I have the remix. Let me know if this is right.
Yeah, That's a stupid song.
This is it. I think this is the remix. I think this is the remix.
Yeah, this is it. Dude, what happened to like them having balls? Fucking like you would think like their song would be like fucking Master of Puppets or something like that.
I think the idea is, I don't want to get too nerd in baseball, but they said like Kyle Schwarber on the Phillies like brought this from, they used to play it a lot in Boston when he played for them, which is also a little weird that like, well,
yeah, I don't want team that was shit. Doing
it. Right. I think the theme might be we're dancing on our own, like screw everybody else, but I'm not entirely sure.
Know.
Yeah.
I think they've been hanging out Xfinity Live too much. That's
right.
The problem.
All the bars across the street from the stadiums.
They've been playing nothing but this fucking kind of music. I think they've been hanging out there too long, bro.
Yeah. Across from stadiums, they have a little bar complex that have a mechanical bull and all kinds of bars and shit like that. Sports bars and stuff.
A lot of gimmicks.
Yeah. And a lot of the guys on the team, like when they've advanced, they've gone over there. And then they're like
Bryce
buying around
was there.
Drinks for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Bryce Harper
went.
Saying,
they're hanging out there too much, man. Yeah. That's why they got such lame songs around them.
Yeah. So, but anyway, hey, I'm not going to shit on the song as long as it keeps on.
I've been shitting on it all month long, dude. It's all good. Right.
It's all good. If something happens, they can come to you, not me. Don't come here. I didn't say it. So, I think that's it, man, for the pep rally.
I thought it was fun, man.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of cool songs and a lot of the stuff that, I'll listen to again and, I'll keep firing up and rocking out to. I have some second thoughts. I got some music news, so I'll do the second thoughts first. We heard from our very good friend and listener, Jackie from Seattle. So we've read some stuff from her several times over the last 2 years. Hey, Bruce and Ryan, I just wanted to write you Above Average Bears a note and say happy birthday and happy 50th episode. I've listened to all of your episodes and love your podcast so much. My top three are 1, The Greatest Drummers, 2, Sub Pop Records, and 3, The Beastie Boys. I also adore the electric chair segment. I think I recall you guys talking about maybe doing a show on your personal favorite live shows. I would love to hear that. Cheers, you fellas. You rule. Oh, by the way, 2 more things. Please do a funk episode. I'm a huge Joe Rogan fan. He loves good music like we do. He's almost done building a new comedy club in Austin, and he's calling it The Mothership, which almost makes me tear up. If you haven't heard Holy Ghost by the Barcays, I highly, highly recommend it. There's a long drum break at 3 minutes that'll give you a new reason to live. So, thank you so much, Jackie. I wrote it back and I was like, yeah, dude, I'm sure, being from Seattle, I'm sure you love the Sub Pop Records episode. It's like right in your backyard. That song, Holy Ghost by Barcays, is fucking awesome. Did you listen to it?
I think I sent it to you.
Hang on. I'll play the drum break that she's talking about.
Cool.
Song's 8.5 minutes long. I don't want to play the whole thing.
No, but what a great suggestion. Thank you, Jackie.
That's some funky stuff, man. We would love to do a funk episode.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was funk, awesome. Yeah. I wrote her back and I was like, dude, we could just do Parliament, Funkadelic.
Totally.
Or we could go broad. Big topic. We also got another email from Dave from the Rock Docs podcast. I talked about them a little bit last time. And I sent him an email just being like, hey, man, I listened to your episode on the documentary on the band Death. And I think I sent it to you, too. I was like, you got to check this out.
Yeah, I'd seen it.
It was cool. It was a cool documentary.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Their episode was good. He just wrote back like, thanks for the shout out. It was a cool episode on your 50th. And by the way, Kendrick's Good Kid, Mad City is a great album. So that was the one that was ranked number one. Kendrick was ranked number one concept album of all time.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's on my homework. I'll listen to it and try to report back. music news. So I got two pieces of music news. So the first one is, did you hear this about Taylor Swift? So
nope.
Taylor Swift has all top 10 slots of the Billboard Hot 100 at the same time right now. So wow. She has a new album out. Her latest album, Midnights, is the biggest charting album on the Billboard 200 in 7 years. And she's the first artist to ever have all top 10 hits. She has 1 through 10. And the Billboard Hot 100 calculates their numbers by looking at like streaming and radio airplay and sales. I think the Beatles had the top five, but she's got all top 10, which is crazy.
Jesus Christ.
I think it's
Big?
I think this she's says a lot about tour. Like media. She is, right, and she announced like a really big tour. And I don't, you know, I don't care about her. Right, yeah. I don't either, but I was like, you know, I don't hate on her either. I'm kind of like, whatever.
She's a good person.
I've heard she invites like fans to her house and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, she's humble.
I think it says a lot about the music industry that I think there's been so much consolidation, like, you know, there's big radio companies that own like 200 stations. So they want to play, you know, you're going to listen to Taylor Swift, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's part of it.
Sure.
I don't think she's anything great. She makes
some hooky,
catchy songs. Yeah.
Makes people happy. That's all. Yeah. Sticks out. She stays out in the news and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on who she's dating at the time.
Right. Yeah. I don't dunk on pop music. I think a lot of it, you know, you kind of like what you like kind of shit. So,
hey, man, if we were working at the record store back in the day, we'd be trashing that shit.
We would, because we'd be listening to it every day. Right. Yeah. We'd be every 10 minutes, somebody would be asking for it and it would be on all the time. God. And we'd be smashing our face against the cash register. So
that's hysterical.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
Celine Dion and whatever. Spice Girls and all kinds of other pop shit.
Hanson
and
fuck.
All right, and the other story I have is Jerry Lee Lewis. So the Killer died on October 28th. He was 87 years old. He started as a session musician for Sun Records, but quickly rose to fame with his own hits like Great Balls of Fire and a whole lot of Shaking Going On. He won 4 Grammys. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Country Music Hall of Fame, and the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. But his career was derailed when he became shitbag of the week when the media found out that his third wife was his 13-year-old cousin. And unreal. We talked about him in the Sun Records episode. Makes a mate, man. He could sing. He could play the goddamn piano. But he was not a nice person.
I just watched his movie that they made about him in the 80s or 90s. And Winona Ryder played... 13-year-old cousin, and Dennis Quaid played him.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, it didn't age well. The movie didn't age well because they totally glamorized them being together. Like it's really weird. It didn't age well. They like do like taking her virginity scene in it, and she's like making the faces, and she's like, shit. I just watched it and it was so embarrassing. I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching this movie.
Ooh.
Bad taste.
Okay. Yeah, dude. I was reading some stuff and I saw that there was a movie of him. I've never seen it. I don't think I need to.
No, dude. They glamorize his romance with this 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No, it's not. It didn't age well.
Yeah. And he's complicated because, you know, you can like the music and still think he's a turd of a person. So, but I don't know. Anyway, the electric chair. So the electric chair it's time for the electric chair. That's where we kill a song that sucks. And as we were just talking, I was like, man, there's a song that we didn't talk about for Stadium Rock. And I never need to hear this fucking song again. And that's The Final Countdown by Europe. I don't even know if we killed this already. We might have killed it already.
I don't think so, because I really do love this song.
Dude, well, let's kill something else.
No. I don't have
anything. Okay, all right.
I'm going to go watch the game, man. Come on.
All right. I'm just tired of it, man. I've heard it overplayed. So many times.
It was Energizer commercials. Fucking.
Good for these dudes for cashing
it in.
They don't
have to work ever again. They're all stamps and shit in where are they from? Switzerland?
Wherever.
Netherlands or something like that. They're like hugely famous.
Yeah, dude. We were putting the list together. I was just thinking about songs I hear at sporting events. I was like, oh, I never need to hear that song ever again. And I meant to put it on a playlist, and I forgot. And now it's going to go on as the electric chair song. And, I mean, it's really hooky. It's really catchy. Everybody
it's
knows
it's played
this.
Out.
Yeah, but nobody knows three songs by them.
I do, because it was one of the first albums I ever owned.
No, I had this on cassette tape, but I think I bought it from, like, the cutout bin. But, all right, I'm just going to kill it so we can go watch the fucking game.
We sentence you to death.
All right, so there's that. That is a wrap on episode 51. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform and tell a friend about us. If you're going to a sporting event and you need some music to get you fired up, we got you covered. We put together a playlist for this show and every other episode we've done. There's a link to it in the show notes. You can also go to the show notes for links to our website at prisonersofrockandroll.com, as well as our Facebook and our Twitter accounts. And if you're not down with social media, you can always email us at show@prisonersofrockandroll.com. So that's it, man. This was fun. This was cool.
I had a great time.
You did a great job putting the playlist together, dude. You always do. You always do.
I want our listeners to, get pumped up. Maybe they'll find some new music they'll work out to. Who knows?
Yeah, and hopefully they don't dunk on us or they don't dismiss us because we're both Philadelphia Phillies fans. So we'll see.
We're diehard, man. I don't think you could take that away from us.
We are. And, you know, I'm not somebody wants to write in and, you know, tell us that the Phillies stink. That's okay. You know, we'll read it on the air. It's all right. I don't get tied up in all that shit, and I don't, you know, I don't care.
I do. I'm go in Phillies, baby.
I'm in it for the good, for the positive ride, not the crapping on everybody else. So
I've been meeting some amazing people down at McCusker's, brand new people just coming in to watch the game. And once you start watching the game one time there, you got to keep on coming back and watch it. So I might head down to the bar and see some people.
Yeah, man, you should. So, all right, get out of here. It was great seeing you. And
I love it, kid.
2 weeks with another episode.
Go Phillies and keep on rocking.
Peace out.
I'm just a prisoner.